In the name of Jesus, amen. A woman pulls up to her driveway, getting off a 10-hour shift from work, and immediately she's greeted by her father, who's been waiting for 30 minutes to drop off the three young children he's been taking care of all day. The kids are just full of energy, but her father is unable to hang around too long, and he offers an apology, and the woman graciously thanks him for watching the kids, and she gives him a hug, and she corrals the children to go inside. And like opening the doors on Black Friday at a mall, the kids dart inside in all different directions, and she has barely any time to get everything settled down and take off her shoes before they're already playing around and grabbing their toys. Her husband won't be home for a couple of hours still. He's at work. And without a moment to rest or time for herself, she is thrown into the problems of dealing with young children. She barely has time to take her work clothes off when she's rushing to the kitchen to get dinner prepared for these kids, and barely is able to have everything settle or grab the kitchen utensils until she hears a crash, a cry, and then a scream from the other room where the oldest one fell and scraped his knee. And so she has the pan in hand, immediately puts it down so she can rush over and deal with this situation. And having reached over there, she's able to give the all-powerful mother's kiss to calm the screaming child. And then she goes and rushes back into the kitchen to start preparing dinner when the phone rings. And on the phone is her mother-in-law. And her mother-in-law tells her that she won't be able to take care of the kids the next day because something came up. And because of that, as you imagine, a heated conversation arises. And the woman, out of desperation, tries to convince her to change her plans, but to no avail. Accepting the new circumstances, the woman hangs up only to find her daughter patiently waiting for her and asks her to play a game. The woman lovingly explains, "Honey, I have to get dinner ready, maybe later." But that didn't satisfy the little girl, and she yells at her mom before storming off into her room, and the woman steps to go follow and provide the necessary discipline, but she stopped, and you can see in her eyes a bit of water, and you can see the struggle that she's trying to just hold everything together. She's exhausted, desperate, and hanging on by a thread. We all know the feeling. There's no way to catch a break. It's impossible to get ahead of the curve, and you're hanging on by a thread. Our reading in Mark gives us three such people who are hanging on by a thread. And we have this little 12-year-old girl who was at the end of her short life. No details are given about her sickness or the severity of her disease. All we know is that this young girl was at the point of death, hanging on by a thread. The father, Jairus, like any parent would with a sick child, is desperate to find a solution, to find anyone or anything anyone can help with. And in the story, we can imagine him pushing through the crowd, fighting in earnest to see Jesus. And out of desperation, he falls at the feet of Jesus, asking and pleading for mercy, begging him to heal his little child. He's hanging on by a thread. And in the middle of these events, a woman suffering with a condition of bleeding, having spent all that she had for a cure, going and suffering under many doctors, only to find that the condition had grown worse. The condition has been her constant companion for as long as the little girl has been alive. 12 years seeking an answer, 12 years seeking healing, and nothing to show for it. She's hanging on by a thread. All of them are desperate. All had great needs, and all of them are hanging on by a thread. And in one way or another, you and I all relate to the circumstances. Maybe not in the details, but we all know and have had a time where we're just hanging on by a thread. We know how overwhelming it can be. For hanging on by a thread is not a secure position to be in. And it's easy to be frightened and afraid. Exhaustion comes quickly and you feel like you're losing control. Losing control of your habits, your well-being, and you're hanging on for dear life. You're hanging on only by a thread. I know how we all can be overwhelmed by the circumstance. Circumstances often we didn't even choose for ourselves. Ones we never asked for. Maybe you're overwhelmed by the cost of living and an economy that feels like it might break from under you. Or your doctor tells you that there's no clear solution for the illness that plagues you. Your trust in the government is fading as leadership maybe disappoints you. The scandals come to light and their promises are never kept. Even institutions that we've been a part of who seem to have our best interest, they continue to seek more from you and take more from you and sometimes betray you. The people we know and love have turned aside for not meeting their standards. Or it may seem that you're the only one who's doing the caring. And sometimes even our families can overburden you with the demands and the requests that they have. Maybe in a way it disappoints you because there's only so much you can do. Or maybe it's because they're overwhelmed too. And there's nothing you can do to change it. Perhaps communication is one-sided, or there's none at all. Or it seems like you're just grasping for straws. No one's listening to you, and you feel as if you're speaking into an empty void. Or maybe time's running low, and you know there's so much left to do. You're overwhelmed. You're desperate, you're scared, you're at the breaking point, and you're only hanging on by a thread. We know a thing or two about hanging on by a thread. And these three people in our gospel reading knows exactly what that's like. They were at their wits' end, hanging on by a thread, and it can feel like it will break at any moment. Hanging on by a thread is not a secure position to be in. Unless, like the people in Mark, the thread on which you are hanging is connected to Jesus Christ. For Jairus, he had lost all hope and he desperately sought out answers for the health and protection of and the well-being of his young, dying daughter. He was afraid, lost and losing his grasp on the situation. And he grabbed on to the thread of Jesus, begging at his feet for him to come and heal. And the woman, after 12 years of long suffering, reasoned that even touching Jesus' garments, his clothes, could help. And she literally reached out to touch the threads wrapped around the Son of God. And she found healing. And even more, she found salvation. Jairus, trusting and depending on Jesus to have the healing power, he reached out. And the little girl, Talitha, simply heard the Savior speak, and she was restored to life. Each of them all found the help that they needed in Jesus Christ. And they offer for us that image of saving faith. Because what it means to hang on by a thread is simply to live by faith. You see, the saving nature, this saving nature of faith looks to and listens to Jesus Christ for salvation. The people in Mark's gospel are not brought to healing or resurrection because they touched Jesus' garment or he possessed an energy that dispenses healing. But the woman is healed by her faith. And that makes all the difference. Because Jesus would say to her in a personal and intimate way, "Daughter, your faith has made you well." And it's the same faith that led someone like Jairus to push and fight through the crowds and beg Jesus for help. Both of them had heard about this Jesus and they looked to him. And they believed that he had the ability, the power, and the willingness to save. And both received what they saw. He healed and he raised this little girl to new life. Jesus saw their faith and he acted to save them. And they just hung on by a thread. They were living by faith. You and I, we're still hanging on by a thread. I know all of you are facing great challenges sometimes on a daily basis. Maybe your prospects for better outcomes might seem a little bleak, and you might be dealing with overwhelming pressures and anxiety. And there are no clear solutions or signs of getting the break from the chaos. And you might be scared at what the future holds. Will your children turn back to the faith of their parents? Will you find healing? Will the madness end? You're hanging on by a thread. But that's just another way of saying you're living by faith. And that's why you're here. Because you have heard the promises of Jesus Christ and you hang on to those promises, even when it's only by a thread. Because Jesus Christ, he promises healing, he promises resurrection. So you're invited, like the woman who grabs onto his garment, to grab onto his body and blood, to eat and to drink, to hold on by faith. I know you may not see the healing the same way as the woman in our text, but certainly when he returns, you will be healed. And just as Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, you too will be raised with him. Hang on to the promises that Christ has given you, the gifts he's given. Continue to look and to listen to him. Cling to Jesus with confidence. Cry out to him for help. Continue trusting that he has already come for you and that he will come again for you. To be honest, I don't know all the things that overwhelms and frightens you. But I do know that you're not alone. Jesus Christ comes for you, and you hear his voice. You're in his body, and as part of the body of Christ, we have one another. We share and care for one another, and in sharing our burdens, we experience one way that Jesus Christ continues to come and save and to bring healing. And so just as much as we hang on to Jesus, trust and depend on him alone, we can also depend and hold on to one another. Share your gifts and lean on each other for comfort and consolation. You are the church. You are the body of Christ, listening and following Jesus wherever he leads you. And that means you can ease one another who are overwhelmed. You're called to share in your burdens and are invited to pray with your brother or sister. Trust and depend on Christ. And you'll find that Jesus Christ is in the heart of your brother or sister who speaks those words to you. In our life together, we continue to hold on to that promise that Jesus has given to you, trusting that he will do what he said he will do, to come and heal, to come and save, that he's already done it for you. You belong to him, and he belongs to you. And that, by that thread by which we hold on to, will be enough. In the name of Jesus, amen.